Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A
of the Sunday morning service of May the 25th, 1980, with Marcus Haggard teaching at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Memorial Weekend, Deliverance Seminar, Hot Springs, Arkansas.
The important thing is the attitude of deliverance, to know what can be done to all the undesirable characteristics within you, you see. And you don't go to the first meeting and walk up and say, hey, cast this thing out of me. Cast this thing out of me. In fact, Satan's got traps all along the way for this guy that starts to get deliverance. He's got doubt to put in his mind. He's got, whether it's scriptural or not, he's got, you know, he's got other people saying, hey, that's of the devil. There's nobody saying, hey, that's of the devil, quicker and oftener than the devil. See? Because the devil works undercover. Constantly. The devil's chief tool is to keep undercover. Undercover of medical diagnosis. Undercover of friends' diagnosis. Undercover of relatives' opinions. Undercover of education, you see. Undercover. Undercover. That's Satan's whole plan, is to keep undercover. And when he goes to be exposed, hey, I tell you, that's why you see all this stir. And I'm telling you, they hang on to the bitter end. And it says that he taketh from him all his armor, wherein the strong man trusted. And then somebody read the last line there. The last line. Who divides the spoils? God. See, this man, with the strong man, well, the strong man isn't gone, but he's weaker, see. And this man then, after this armor's taken away and the evil spirits are gone, can serve God. Now, this doesn't mean he's unsaved. This doesn't mean anything. It's just we're talking about full service, you see. We're talking about him being able to control himself. We're talking about him being able to reason and seek God more fully. A lot of people are filled with the Holy Spirit, and they tell me, I just can't concentrate on my Bible. I cannot get in my Bible. And I had a lady over at Columbus, Ohio, come up, and she said, I can't get in my Bible. And I tell you what, the kingdom of heaven is taken by violence. I mean, really, it takes desperate people, you see, that are desperate enough to really hang on. And that lady was helping in deliverance, but she just hung on to my leg. Virginia, you were there, and Rachel, you were there, and she just hung on to my leg. And I looked down there, and there she was, hanging on to my leg. And I set her up on a chair, and I just said, Leviathan, come out of her. She was a sweet girl, mother of seven children, and I just didn't suppose anything had happened, you know. I just, Leviathan, suppose that's another thing about discernment. Everybody waits, thinking in discernment, people, that the Lord's going to see you wait for the Holy Spirit to speak to you. They say discernment is when the Holy Spirit speaks. Listen, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, it's just like another thought. It just rolls into your mind like another thought. There isn't any loud, booming voice. There isn't any small voice. It's another thought. That's the way the Lord speaks to you in your spirit of counsel, you see, in the spirit of discernment. And I passed up a lot of spirits for a long time. We were helping deliver a man from Montana, George Wright and myself, and I had the spirit of Antichrist. He was a full gospel businessman. He was spirit-filled. And I didn't dream he could have the spirit of Antichrist in him. But he was there because the spirit kept coming back some way. And he was bothered and tormented. And so I passed up the spirit of Antichrist. I didn't want to embarrass him. See? By calling out the spirit of Antichrist, but it came in through my mind. And all of a sudden, George Wright, he spoke out, spirit of Antichrist, come out of him. And boy, he delivered. He had a Jesus-only spirit. And the Jesus-only spirit was a doorkeeper. And from then on, I didn't hesitate to speak out when something crosses your mind. Now, this lady from West Virginia that came to Columbus, Ohio, she sat on that chair, and I spoke to Leviathan and told him and she just pissed on the floor. And I thought she was going to choke to death. It was just agony for her to deliver, but she delivered and delivered. And she called me the next morning at 11 o'clock when I was back home, and she said, you know, I've been in my Bible all morning. She said, just as different as night and day. Now, you see, the devil has spirits in a person that keeps them from studying the Word of God. And Leviathan, Wynne Worley has a tape on Leviathan, and a person ought to get it. In fact, there's not many things that Wynne Worley doesn't have a tape on. He's got 700 of them. And now, so it says that the spoils can be divided. Okay, now we're ready to start. Isn't that something? But you see, this background is essential for what we're going to say about a woman or a man controlling their home. Because it is essential that we understand and even controlling ourselves. So the thing that we have to understand, we're going to just simply, I don't know what good it's going to do, but we're going to just turn around like that. And then we're going to use a little illustration here that the father, you see, sent to the man. Let's see. We have over here, we just put the mind and the soul. And the Father sent Jesus Christ. And He sent Jesus Christ, and He sent what they call salvation. And so we're going to start on our rights of we're going to start talking about a believer's rights and what happens with salvation. Now remember that this spirit in here was dead, and this was all carnal. And now we have a spirit of Jesus Christ, and He is a quickening spirit. And in Ephesians, and in John 20:22, it said Jesus breathed on them and they had the Holy Ghost. He said, receive the Holy Spirit. Now, Jesus Christ came as a quickening spirit, and this in Ephesians 4, you have it on that paper on restoring the mind. Let's see, Ephesians 4:22, okay? Yeah. On page 2, Ephesians 4:22, why it says that ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt to the deceitful lust. Then in 4:23, you go on to the next one, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Okay, now in order to just make things a little quicker, but here's the Spirit. Now, it comes up like an antenna. We'll make it straight. It comes up like an antenna, and it is the only thing that will receive the things of God. Remember that this old flesh mind, this carnal mind, the fleshly mind, is against God. Totally. Remember that the carnal mind and the flesh, the Bible says, is at war or totally against God. Now, what does that mean? That means, well, I want you to give this some prayer, see. That we got a lot of people that says that it isn't their demons, it's their flesh. And people, they've had a little deliverance, and so now I've got to deal with my flesh. So that's what these guys say when you go to walk it out, you got to control your flesh. Now, I'm just studying this and praying about it and so forth, but remember that when Adam had a body, and when he had his mind, and it was totally spiritual and the devil hadn't had a chance to tamper with it, just remember that it didn't have any problems, apparently. Did he? No. He didn't have any problems. So the flesh, the Bible says flesh means just meat. The word is stripping it off the bone, you see. The flesh. That's the word they use to describe flesh. Now, Adam's flesh didn't give him any trouble when he was with God, did it? So that flesh kind of must have been kind of a neutral thing. And when God's Spirit was in there and the devil wasn't, why then he had no problem. And the devil wasn't in there, he had no problems. Now, only the devil, if the flesh and the carnal mind is totally against God, then only the devil makes it that way. And the Scriptures say that in Romans it says that the Holy Spirit even helps the flesh to give life to the flesh. So the purifying effect of the power of God is to root out Satan. And I highly question whether I think that the devil is the total problem. And you get him out of there and get everything back in order with God again, and God got the power and the cleansing and so forth, that's what you need. It's That's why breaking your yoke is your yoke broke, see. The warfare prayers. That's why Worley spent time last night taking us through a cleansing process, shutting the doors and locking out Satan. And these fellas that say, oh yeah, I cast out demons, but the trouble I have is with the person's flesh. What they're saying is, what the trouble I have is with the devil in that guy. See? Because the flesh was neutral ground at one time. Now, you just pray about that, because that's kind of Marcus Haggard talking there, and I don't want to get it out of line with church doctrine and so forth, unless it's absolutely scripturally correct. But I want you folks to pray about it and see what the Lord tells you. Now, salvation was offered. But salvation was offered after believing, you see. So you become a believer, and then salvation came. Okay, now, Romans 10:10. How do we appropriate salvation? Romans 10:10. Well, do you think I ought to move out from underneath that thing? Like this? Oh, is that the one that's giving the trouble? Okay. Well, I'll just stay back here then, okay? Now, let's just look at Romans 10:10 a minute. And it says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart, the Spirit, man believeth unto righteousness. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Now, salvation is by most people known as the thing that qualifies them when they die to go to heaven. See? And that's salvation. Are you saved? Yes, sir. What's going to happen to you? Well, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. They call it fire insurance, so they won't go to hell. See? Well, actually, salvation, when we look at salvation, here's a piece of bread. And that's where I met Morris back there, much to my dismay. Oh, Morris. Oh, gee whiz. See how natural that comes for me? What's that out of? That's out of my carnal mind. See, the Holy Spirit wouldn't have me do that, would He, Virginia? Next time you yell at Wynn, you remember that, Virginia. Now, if a person says, my salvation is good for a ticket to heaven when I die, it's just like having this piece of bread and eating that much. And there's the rest of your salvation. Right there. See? Yeah. Because what does salvation entitle you to? Why, it entitles you to being translated into the kingdom of heaven. It entitles you to be seated in the spiritual, in the heavens spiritually, Ephesians 2:6, seated in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ at the right hand side of the Father. It entitles you to go right in to the Father and ask Him for anything you want, anytime you want it, anytime you need it, and tell Satan that you're free of him and that you're going to clean house. And you're going to live by the total Word of God. See, now, the natural man, in 1 Corinthians 2:14, it says the natural man can receive nothing of God. The natural man, the carnal man, the carnal mind can receive nothing of God. But when you are spiritually reborn and receive the Spirit, the life of the Father in you, you have a divine nature. Oh boy. 2 Peter 1:4 says that we have a divine nature within us. See, when you're born again, and when you're born again and saved in power, and when we gave that statement last night, he used Matthew 16:17-18, where Jesus said, who am I? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. And what did Jesus say to him? Flesh and blood didn't tell you this. You know that hasn't changed? That has not changed. But since they did see him and he did perform them, they saw the Father, they saw the Godhead, they saw all the power complete in him, they saw the perfect union, the Godhead in completion in his body, and they then had sin because they had refused him, see. Now, how do we appropriate then all of our salvation? Well, we appropriate it by our mouth, it says. It says in Romans 10:10, see, but with the mouth, confession is made into salvation. So what does the Bible say? Ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask. We got to do it. We have to do it. It says, you put off the old man, you put on the new. So, the thing we're going to deal with just simply this morning. Also, you might make a note, Philippians 2:12, it says that, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. What are we doing this morning? We're working out our salvation. See, we're working out our salvation. Our salvation is just so wonderful. Salvation, if we can just get that word in our mind to mean total luxury in the Lord.
Yes.
Total luxury in the Lord. Total power in the Lord. Okay, now let's just look and see. We'll approach this from the standpoint of just as simple as possible. And Father, I think what we'll do, we're going to go on and finish a portion of this morning concerning the spirits of God and how the spirits of God are made to shape personalities and so forth. But I know that if you want to stand and stretch, we're going to just take 3 minutes and let you do that. I think it'd be better listening. I would like to just say this while everybody's getting seated again. And you see, one of the things that confront us as believers is the fact that when we have so much of this, you can see we discussed the other day working for God and in the carnal or fleshly motivation by Satan. See, Satan knows that deep within a person there's a desire for religion and worship. And so it's an antichrist spirit, and they start tearing down everything that's in the Bible that would be useful to the believer in really carrying out destroying the works of Satan. So any scripture that pertains and is useful to the edification or the building up or the knowledge that a believer might get is in jeopardy. And the first thing that came into under Satan's quenching was Isaiah 45:11, when it said, "Ask me as to the future." Now the King James translation is the only one that has this. "Ask me of the future, my sons, and command ye me the works of my hands." Now the other translation make that a rebuke, but I ran that down from beginning to end, and that is the correct. That is in harmony with the scriptures, you see, through and through. Now, another thing that's been changed, and you don't hear anybody saying that Paul anymore, that Paul's thorn was a sickness. And so I'm going to just give you some scriptures that, number one, Paul's thorn was a sickness, and Paul said it was himself. And if you want to, you'll just refer to it in 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, and... Then if 2 Corinthians 12th chapter, it goes over there and he says there was an angel of Satan that buffeted me and it was a thorn in my flesh, and I asked the Lord to relieve it, and I asked him 3 times and he wouldn't. Now, he was in the first place, he did say that it was from Satan. He did say it was in his flesh, and then he did say that later on down, he used the term weakness. "I will glory in my weakness." And that word weakness in the original translation is asthenia. And asthenia is translated over in John, where Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. And it said Lazarus was sick. That word sick over there is asthenia. And the word weakness in Corinthians is asthenia. And so Paul said himself that he was asthenia, which is translated sickness and weakness and infirmity, you see. So Paul's own admission is that he was sick. allowed by the Lord from Satan, you see, in his flesh. And then in Galatians 4:13, 8 years later, he says he got well. And in 4:13, it says, in Galatians 4:13, 8 years later, that was written 8 years later, why, he says he got well. Because he says, when I came to you at first, I preached to you through infirmity of the flesh, I believe he uses. And then he goes ahead and speaking. But see, what he said was, it's like me, if I would come down here and I had a terrible pain in my leg and my arm was drawn up like this and I couldn't see very well, and I would say, look, the glory of the Lord is for all of you. The glory. Oh, seize upon this opportunity. Come to the Lord and be like me. That's what Paul says he was doing. He said, you ought to have despised me. See, you should have despised the infirmity in my flesh. You should have despised me, but you didn't. You received me as though I was an angel. And he said, when I came to you at first, he indicates that was in the past. He got rid of it. And Paul was healed. Now, what some people do, they continue to suffer all their lives, saying, well, Paul's suffered for the grace of God. I can suffer for the grace of God, see? And so they use that to just stay sick. But Paul got well. But Paul was afflicted by Satan upon the permission of the Lord with a sickness. Okay? Okay. Now, we do not have enough. Let's just turn to a blank sheet of paper. And this is going to be binding and loosing in the home. And then we're going to come to some... And binding and loosing in the home, we have to take the order that Jesus took it, you see. Now, we have a lot of binding and loosing in the business. Well, I guess we ran out of those, too. I ran 500 extra copies of binding and loosing in the home, and Irma will have them by mail and can send them to you. And you leave her your name if you want binding and loosing in the home and binding and loosing in the business, and she'll get them out to you. And won't, will you, Irma, or should I send them? Will you? Well, I tell you what. Now, there's more than one way to give Irma the price of a stamp, you see. And Irma knows that, you know that it has to have stamps on it, and Irma knows it has to have stamps on it, and here's a penny toward it right there that was laying. But, yes. Oh, no. No, you, anything that's got my name on it or doesn't have my name on it, they just reprint it and whatever you want to. Doesn't make, it's all Scripture. I don't print anything but Scripture. You won't find very many opinions in my mimeograph material. And if you'll look at Win Worley's first book, it's all Scripture. You know, that's what people object to it. So they have to look up all those Scriptures. He's got Scotch blood in him. And you know, he would not print those Scriptures in full. And he makes you look them up in the Bible. He'll give you maybe six Scriptures. So it takes you maybe 3 days to read one page if you look it up, all up in the Bible. And I've heard more people object that it's too much Scripture. More, too much time, more than anything else to his book, see? But that's the only safe thing. See, that's the Word of God. That's what we're supposed to be living by. That's all there is, as far as I'm concerned. I've had so much of the wisdom of man, and
I think maybe we're bootlegging if we recopied some of those.
Not at all. Just copy them and mail them and send them and buy a mimeograph and do like we do. Just keep it running. The problem is getting enough people to read them.
But when they get them, then they say they don't have time.
I know. But you know...
They want to hear it, but they don't want to...
Charge them.
Well, I tell you what we have the power to do. Hebrews 1:14 is a tool of the believer. If the devil's kids can send demons with letters... We had a lady in our town got a letter from a friend of hers that was in witchcraft and moved into a house that had witchcraft in it. And when she got that letter, while the lights started turning off and on and many things started moving around the room, a demon came right with that letter, you see. Now, if those kids can send demons with letters, we can sure send angels with ours.
Yeah.
With a lot more pack and wallop whenever you write a letter to a friend, you ask the Lord to send an angel with that letter and just expound it to her, or let the Holy Spirit fill her. And we use Acts 19:12 a lot, the healing cloth ministry. But when you mimeograph this material, you pray over it, or when you copy it, and when you put that seal on it and everything, you just ask the Lord to put an angel in there and send it or go with it. And then another thing we should do is pray to loose their angels. Matthew 18:10. Now let's first go to the authority to bind and loose, which is given in Matthew 16:19. And we're just simply going to just title this, Binding and Loosing in the Home. And at the top of the page, Matthew 16:19, it says, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Now, that's not a two. See, it's awful hard to say that without saying keys to the kingdom of heaven. You're already in the kingdom of heaven. You're already in the kingdom of heaven. He's going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And what is the keys of the kingdom of heaven? What he's saying, this is the modus operandi. This is the way heaven operates. This is the way, this is the secret, this is the diagram, this is the solution, this is your whole deal as far as being in the kingdom of heaven. And then what does he say? Whatsoever ye shall bind on earth. You notice that was first? When you bind the strong man over your home, when you bind the strong man over your husband, the Lord is saying, whatever it takes in heaven, you're going to get it down there quickly. And if he had to send every angel he has, he's going to do what you say when you take authority in his name. So what he's saying is, when you bind evil on earth, bind the strong man, bind the evil over your home. Listen, I tell you, our homes, you see, can either just be ruled by Satan or get ruled by God. But daily, we can bind the strong man over our home, bind the strong man over our marriage, bind the strong man over our husband, bind the strong man over ourselves, and bind the strong man over our children, and bind the strong man over our finances, our job, whatever's affecting us. See, Satan is picking on things, the wiles of the devil, you see. The Bible speaks of the wiles of the devil. That's the plans of the devil. You can cancel the plans of the devil. See, Winsett, his church prayed against the Illuminati and canceled out their plans. That's what we have to do. We have to cancel the devil's plans because we have the power to zip right there. It's bound. And the Lord says, whatever you bind on earth, I'm going to send everything from heaven it takes to see that it's carried out. Then he also said, whatever you loose on earth, whatever you loose on earth, I'm going to see that you get the power from heaven, zip, right now, to loose it. And it'll be done. See, what does he say in Isaiah 58? I have spoken it. Boy, I consider that a signature of the Lord. When he says, I have spoken it. When you read that Bible correctly from the Genesis clear through to right now, it is all for us right now. Hallelujah. Living right now. Now, I know there's plans for the millennium and there's plans for all that. That's all prophecy and so forth. But what I'm saying, the bulk of it, the bulk of those promises are for our appropriation and our power to make our lives here powerful. To do the job that the Lord Jesus Christ had to come and start, and we're going to help finish it, aren't we?
Amen.
And if we're not destroying the works of the devil, if we're not working against that old carnal nature and old carnal spirit and working at everything that's bringing itself against the knowledge of God, you see, why, we're just not doing our job. So we have the power. So let's get this in order that Jesus put it, see? And if you want to just make brief notes, you can. So what I do every morning, I say, in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, you can substitute name and authority. When the Bible says name, it means authority. I have kept them in my name, Father, he says in John 17. That means I have kept them in your authority, Father. So in the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, I like it because it sounds a little more powerful, see. I bind the strong man over my home. I bind the strong man over my family. I bind the strong man over my wife and every member of the Haggard family. And then I bind the strong man over the school, the Yorktown High School, the Yorktown Middle School, the Yorktown Elementary, and Pleasant View. And I bind all evil in that school and away from my girls that are going to that school. And then I ask the Father to send angels into the school to create favor between my girls and the faculty and my girls and the student body. Every morning I do this. Why do you do it daily? Because the Bible speaks of doing things daily. Doing things daily. The inner man is renewed day by day, you see. So we do it daily. Now, so what do we, after we get everything bound up that you can think of, and it's a lot more effective, I think, when you write your own, but we provide these outlines and so forth so that you can have a skeleton to follow. And then it comes to the loosing. Now, we're just simply going to go to the Scripture, and I want you to ask yourself or look at it this way. When the devil wants to make a person, here stands a 16-year-old boy, and the devil wants him to lie. What does he put in him to make him lie? All right, if he wants him to steal, what does he put in him to make him steal? Kleptomania, or stealing. If he wants to make a sex maniac out of him, what does he put in there? Lust spirit, erotic sex, oral sex, lewd sex, unclean sex. And that, what happens? That boy is compelled by that spirit. See? Now, when the Lord, see, all we've ever heard about and been taught about is just the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the Father all in us. And the Bible does not dwell much upon any of the other spirits as far as what to do with them, but it says a great deal about what they do. And I'm going to pull this over here. Glenn says there's a bounce back on the stand. But let's go to Isaiah 11:2. Now, understand that the Lord works all together by Spirit. And Jesus Christ came in physically, died, and then sent back Spirit of adoption and the Holy Spirit and so forth. And in Isaiah 11:2, it foretells Jesus Christ coming. And it says in Isaiah 11:2 that resting on Jesus Christ, and this isn't the only place that it lists them, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, Spirit of understanding, the Spirit of counsel, the Spirit of might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of fear of the Lord." Now, the Lord showed me that those were the seven basic spirits upon which the foundation of all the other spirits of the Lord would operate. In other words, Jesus Christ is a cornerstone. He is the square that makes our building square, our thinking square, everything true, you see. So, those are the foundation spirits, and they are Spirit of the Lord, wisdom, counsel, might, knowledge, and so forth. All right, now, if we are to receive those spirits, do we get them automatically? If we did, then why would it say in James, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask for it? Why would it say in Romans 10:10, then with the mouth we confess to salvation? And why would it? So we have the power to loose and receive those spirits. And I'm going to show you scripturally where those spirits have personality. Now let's just deal with the Spirit of the Lord first. And the Spirit of the Lord, of course, is extended. And it says in John 6 that everyone is taught of the Lord. I think the Spirit of the Lord has reached into every heart around the world. The missionaries will come to a big black chief in Africa. They've never heard of Jesus Christ before. They'll tell him about Jesus Christ. He said, "Oh, yes, I knew he existed, but I didn't know his name." Why? Because he could see the trees and the grass and the fruit and the birds flying and all these things happening. He knew there was an order to the sun coming up. He could look around the universe and he could see there was a pattern that was beyond him, making it and so forth. So that told him, the Spirit of the Lord had extended to him. Okay, now, the next spirit that we'll discuss is the spirit of wisdom. All right, now, the spirit of wisdom is something that will remake a person when you receive it. See, the Bible says if you lack wisdom, ask for wisdom. So let's just go and see what it says about wisdom. Let's go to Proverbs 8 and 9. Proverbs 8 and 9. Now, this is the best description of a spirit having personality that I think we can find. And I want you to read. Who doesn't have a Bible with them this morning? Who doesn't have a Bible? Anybody that doesn't have one, we'd like for you to have one. Don't you have one, honey? Oh, my. You want to run down here and get this one? Here you are. Run down here and get this one, sweetheart. And then somebody will help you. Huh? No. I mean if you don't have one to refer to this morning. All right, here's another. Now, you know, honey, okay. You want one, sweetheart? You want one? Okay. Morris will help you there. Morris will try to make up to you what he did to me so that he'll let you use his Bible. Now, Proverbs 8, I want you to, let's just, Father, we ask for an agreement of minds, and we just ask for an opening of the understanding so that we can understand this. Now, remember, we're going to read this with the idea that the spirit of wisdom is a person, has a personality, a will, and a mind, and feeling. Because, well, you look in Wynn's books, and it says that those spirits can think, they have feeling. Haven't you run across them with feelings, Glenn? They can feel hot and cold, can't they? They can think. They try to outfigure you. They try to hang on. So you see, spirits actually have a personality. Now, the spirit of wisdom that we're supposed to acquire. Now, this kind of sounds odd, doesn't it? But we're in the Scriptures, remember. It says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Wisdom and understanding are persons, as spirits. She standeth on the top of the high places, by the way, in the places of past. She crieth at the gates and the entry of the city, at the coming of doors. Unto you, O men, I call. Wisdom calls. And my voice is to the sons of man, O ye simple. In Psalms, I'll give you the scripture for a minute, it says that the Word of God makes wise the simple. The Lord doesn't want any simple believers. You know what simple means? Easily deluded. Easily misled. Well, this little girl that's a believer and in church all her life said, well, I didn't know he was going to park. I didn't know he was going to run out of gas. I thought he was really out of gas. I didn't know we were going to be there an hour. I didn't know he was going to kiss me. Simple-minded. What did he think he had her out there for? You know, the Lord doesn't want simple kids. He doesn't want stupid people. He wants you with the spirit of wisdom. He wants you wise. And that's what wisdom is trying to say. Oh, you simple, understand wisdom. You fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things. Hey, wisdom wants to get inside of you and talk to you about excellent things. And the opening of my lips shall be right things. A man with wisdom, a God. Go ahead.
Would you consider a parallel verse in Proverbs? Seek wisdom. Wisdom is a principal thing, but with all thy getting, get understanding.
Yeah, it goes together, see? It put them together right there. Wisdom and understanding cries. You're catching on real quick. For my mouth shall speak truth. What's truth? Truth is that Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Father are your fathers and creators, your power, and my wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Now, I want to tell you what happens. I was in church 35 years, I was a deacon, Sunday school superintendent, Sunday school teacher, all the offices in the church. I was really churchy. I was a youth leader, and I'm telling you, we always had a good big youth group. When I was a youth leader, we played tennis and stuff like that. You know, we really developed the kids. I was unsaved and I wasn't born again all that time. And at that time, you know, I saw the barkeeper. Well, yeah, but you know, everybody's got to make a living. I saw Playboy magazine. I said, oh, yeah, they're printing that stuff. But, you know, everybody's got to make a living. That's his business if he wants to print that. I would see the girls in the house of prostitution. Why, sure, if they want to do that, that's all right. But you know what? After I got the spirit of wisdom, what happened to me? Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. It says later on that it will show evil is an abomination. Now, what do I see? I see that as affecting my kids. I see the far-reaching effect of hard liquor, of pornography, of lewdness. I see the works of the devil in that. I see the divine, the grand design of Satan in influencing everybody with drugs, stealing, alcohol, his plan, you see, to capture the mind, to capture the home, to break up the home through those things that I used to think was just, oh, I was in church, I was churchy, but they weren't an abomination, see. It was evil. I knew it was bad, but it was okay. For all the words of my mouth are in righteousness. See, Marsh, you're right. You'd stop railing if you really let wisdom have her way. Because all the words of the mouth would become righteousness when you had the spirit of wisdom talking to you. There is nothing forward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction and not silver and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies and all the things that be desired. Number 12, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. Oh, you reading that 12 real close now? And find out knowledge of witty inventions. See, there hasn't been a major invention in America for the last 50 years. You see, the inventiveness of the mind has been absolutely capped by Satan. We haven't had the wisdom of God. There's no one asking for it. There's no one knowing what the value is. But the believer can work in the wisdom of God. And when that, in the original language, in witty invention, it means devising clever ways to do things. It not only means devising equipment and machinery and that type of thing. It means that when you're going about your work, about your housework, if you've got a problem, the wisdom will help you figure out a way to do it. Now, I hope that everybody is kind of beginning to get the picture of the fact that these spirits, when they're loosed into your kids every morning, it changes them. See? When you loose them into your kids every morning, when you loose them into your employees, when you loose them into your fellow man, somebody comes here for deliverance. And we did it for years, and we could see a big difference. We didn't know what was happening, but we just loosed the spirits of God into them once we just got to thinking about it. And so we'd just loose the spirits of God, and that person would gradually get easier to work with. Some of them were, boy, we got bad ones there for a while. We didn't get anything to work with that really had what you'd call a right mind. It just seemed like the Lord brought us people out of insane asylums and stuff like that, just in terrible shape. And so, I will tell you the story. At Hagwitz Church Workshop, the first workshop that Wynn had, he asked me to give a Sunday morning message on the spirits of the Lord. And I said, Father, it was about 5 o'clock in the morning, and I was talking to the Lord about, I really hadn't been into this subject very long, and I said, Father, I need a good illustration of the value of loosing the spirits of God into a badly possessed person. Because we're doing it, and I can see where my children can receive it, and that they've got a fairly sound mind, and they can operate all right. But what value is the spirits of God to a person that is really badly possessed? Well, he just, like that, he said, you had Psalms 104. I showed you that yesterday, 104:4. It says it makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flaming fire. That means that the Lord can make his angels like a breath, just a spirit, see. And you, well, actually, that's the way the angels get in to put hooks in the jaws of those demons they deliver. And that's the way they get in there around the brain to cut the strands off of them and cut the hair and the silver and the steel wire and stuff like that off of them. The Lord makes these angels spirits so they can be invisible and go anywhere, and they're just like breath. Now, he said, secondly, remember that they are warriors. He said, it says, I am the God of hosts. I am the God of hosts. And every angel I got is a warrior. Now, they minister and they everything else, but they're warriors. Now, he said, then just tell them it's like dumping a can of maggots in a wound. I said, oh, Lord, I cannot do that. That's terrible. Couldn't see any relationship. I got up and shaved and everything, and he didn't give me anything else. I told him he'd have to give me another illustration because that people would reject that. And so anyone that knows about the war, World War I, the Vietnamese War and everything, knows that they used maggot therapy. And so when I just went ahead and, obedient to the Lord, I was going to use the illustration he gave me. Now, they'd find a boy in Vietnam with a hole in his back, but with a shell or something, and he'd been there about 24 hours, and it was full of blood and pus and crud and all that kind of stuff. And so the idea was to get him to San Francisco Hospital. So what they'd do, the medics carried a pint of maggots, they'd dump it in the wound, slap a plaster on it, seal it tightly, and then put him on a stretcher, take him to the center, and then ship him by airplane back to San Francisco. Father, I ask you for strength and composure. And when they opened up that wound, see, maggots have a characteristic that they will not eat live flesh. They'll only eat the corruption and the blood. And so when they got him to the hospital, that wound was completely cleaned out. Now, and ready for treatment. Now, when we loose the spirits of God into a badly possessed person, according to the Lord's illustration, they immediately go to work eating the crud and corruption and fighting it, see, out of a person. So we should loose that. We ought to loose the spirits of God. We ought to get all of our salvation, or most of this is another portion of it, see. If we have those, if we use those 11 spirits, then we've used that much more of our salvation. In other words, we're entitled to that, and so if we use those, we're going to need it. Now, the other spirits that we're going to talk, we go on with wisdom, and it is just endless what wisdom can do. It says wisdom wants to make you wealthy. Wisdom will make you successful in every field. If you read wisdom throughout, and in the book of Job, it has a dissertation on wisdom. And it says, only God can give wisdom. Only God can give wisdom. Now, we have to ask for it, we have to receive it, and it's one of the seven basic spirits of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, understanding, the spirit of understanding, the meaning of that is deep thinking. That is able to relate the things that the Lord has created into our lives and put the word in there and the prophecy in there and put them all together and understand we're in the plan of God. That's understanding. Putting the word, the knowledge, the things you see around here, the things that are brought back around the purpose of God, and I'll give you a little illustration here. The world eats that egg every morning. The world looks at that egg, and to him, to the world, that's no miracle. It's just an egg. They don't know hardly where it came from. But see, the hen has a little tube in her that's no bigger than my little finger. And she eats the corn and drinks the water and grinds it all up, puts it into solution. It goes through her bloodstream. And then she puts the yolk in there. And then she makes a white around it. And then she puts a perfect shell on it that's a perfect container. And then she has it. And it's a miracle of God. Man can't make that egg. Man can't make that egg. Now, when you got the spirit of understanding, see, when you receive the spirit of understanding, you see that that's a miracle of God. And then the miracles within yourself and the miracles He wants to perform and the miracles of being able to perform His prophecy, where He prophesied 150, 200 years ago, years before Cyrus took the cities that he took and went through the gold, the gates were described perfectly by the Lord. 200 years later, Cyrus did it to a city that was impossible to take. Was that Babylon he took when, Cyrus? I believe it was. Anyway, well, all right, Wynn. I'm sorry that I interrupted you. Well, there's more than one way to do anything you want to do, I guess. Well, I want to say this. If it wasn't for Wynn, we wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Wynn, we wouldn't have the family we have. We wouldn't have the ministry we have, because they really came down there and brought their people. And I tell you, they did it. It says, freely ye give, freely ye receive. And I'm telling you, they didn't spare any quarter in helping us get started at Muncie. And it was a wonderful thing. And when you hear me antagonize Wynn a little, it's just to wake him up, that's all. It's, Now, the next, let's get back, and what, somebody read the next spirit in Isaiah 11, too. Okay, well, if you, I won't bother with my Bible if you'll just keep me abreast on the spirits. The spirit of counsel in a person means that the spirit is a receiver set of the Lord. And the Lord has that tuned to himself so that you can hear his voice 7 hours a day, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and 365 days of the year. And if you will develop, if you'll grow your spirit, if you'll receive the spirit, see, Jesus Christ won the war. You don't have to wait 21 days like Daniel waited. The battle is won for the believer. You've got a hotline to the Lord. You get an instant answer. The problem with most people is they sit there and wait for the answer, and the Lord's answered. The Lord's already answered. It's just zip, zip, like that. Father, which shirt should I wear this morning? Zip, zip, you got it. Father, should I go here or there this morning? Zip, zip, you got it. I mean, the spirit of counsel is instant. And you develop that spirit of counsel, and the Lord can talk to you night and day. And that's what that spirit of counsel is for. And it comes in with the spirit of Jesus Christ when we confess it and receive it and want it. What's the next spirit? Might. That means champion. That means conqueror. That means you'll never be defeated. That means when you've got that spirit of might in you, it's better than strength. Because might is champion. And with strength and the spirit of Jesus Christ and the power within you, you will never be defeated, according to the original language, is what might means. Now, what's the next one? Huh?
Knowledge.
Knowledge. For lack of knowledge, my people perish. That spirit is the same word. That word that's used in knowledge there is the same word that is used in Hosea when it says, for lack of knowledge, my people perish. So that spirit of knowledge apparently helps the Holy Spirit with you assimilating the knowledge of God. The Word of God. Isn't that beautiful what the Lord has done for us? And what we have to do is just receive them. We just have to tell the Lord we want them. And we have to loose them into our children. That's the way you make good children. You make good children just like the devil makes bad children. You've got authority to bind the devil away from them. Bind evil in them. And loose the goodness of God in them. And make them into a strong Christian. Make them into something that can walk circumspectly, guardedly, triumphantly, confidently over sickness, over death, over everything we're supposed to walk over, you see. Over drugs, dope addiction, alcohol. Because why? They got the spirit of wisdom in it. They can see the evil in it. They can see its abomination to the Lord. When they see D&D, they instantly know not to play Dragons and Dungeons because it's of the devil. And they can see it immediately, you see, with the spirit of wisdom, if you'll put it in there. When should it start to go in there, Rachel? When the baby's conceived, right? When you're carrying the baby in the womb. Okay, I tell you what, we're gonna just save the other. Okay, fear of the Lord. Well, that's just so much reverence. That's so much respect. That spirit tells you what the Lord can do. The Lord is love. He's wrath. He's powerful. He's all powerful, and you just respect him. Fear of the Lord means respect of the Lord. It doesn't mean a cringing fear. In 2 Timothy, we're going to discuss those later on, the love and sound mind and power, but only the devil gives the fear. So we're just going to start to minister and have lunch. And
this is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com or LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.